The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland. Yes, that's true. It is your favorite paranormal and conspiracy show on the radio because we're so exciting. We're digging deeper. Actually, we're not really digging deeper. You know, I like to think that we're coming from the same angle that a lot of you are and that we don't necessarily know and then we're trying to find out and then we find these topics really interesting. So, you know, I like to think that we're not coming from this sort of like jargon angle, you know, this angle where you don't understand half the things, you know, we want them in layman's terms so that we can get it. Hopefully you like that. All right. So for those of you in Reading, you know, the fires that we've been dealing with. And for those of you around the world, we broadcast out of KCNR AM 1460 here in Reading, California, which is in the middle of all these crazy fires. And, you know, they're starting to go out. We're starting to see a little bit of wintry weather. We're hitting some 80s. It's starting to get nice. But apparently my wife, who is a news hound, local news hound. I like the national news. She likes the local news. Apparently at 5:30 this morning, somewhere in the vicinity of my house, there was an estimated 300-pound brown bear running through the streets that the authorities had to chase into some drainage culvert and then weren't able to get back because, you know, the fires had chased this wildlife inland. You know, for you Bigfoot fans, maybe we'll get a Bigfoot roaming the streets of Reading. So I am your host, Chauncey, of Radio Wasteland, and this is my co-host, Sean. Sean, are you there with us? Oh, yeah? Are you there with us?
Ah, yes. Now I am.
There he is. How are you doing?
Good.
So this was kind of last minute. Where are you at?
I am currently up in Washington. Swim Washington.
Oh, so you're back up where you were when the fires were going on.
Yes.
Are you up there planning your new life?
Yes.
Are you really?
I don't know. I'm up here for reasons that will currently remain mysterious.
I like that. I definitely like that. All right. Well, aside from this, so did you catch what I was saying about the brown bear?
No. The first thing I heard was, are you on with us?
Oh, good timing. So, yeah, my wife was telling me.
He literally just started figuring out how to connect me to the show like 2 minutes ago. So.
Right, right. For you folks listening, we're hitting a new level of technology, which is kind of sad, I guess. But my wife was telling me that in the local news here, she saw that the Reading police and animal getter people were chasing down a brown bear in the city streets over by my house at 5:30 this morning that had been driven into the town because of all the fires around.
That seems reasonable.
It seems reasonable, yeah, I guess. But I'm saying if you're a Bigfoot fan, you know, maybe now's the time to go out there and corral some Bigfeet.
But they would be bears.
Yeah, I guess there would be bears.
That seems like a problem.
You're going to have to bring your bear mace.
Yeah.
But I assume that Bigfoot hunters...
Oh, you're saying that Bigfoot would also naturally be driven.
Yeah.
Along the bears.
Right.
Yes. So, well, you Bigfoot hunt from your home then.
Just hang out in the parking lot of your local gas and sip.
And wait for Bigfoot to wander by.
Yeah, that's right. So, so nothing new and exciting going on with you except for you're now a world traveler?
No, not really. nothing I can talk about on the air. There are ongoing legal issues. That's a lie. Or is
it? Yeah, well, my week hasn't been too exciting. My biggest point of excitement today was that I skipped lunch and I just chugged iced tea all day. And at about 3:30, I thought I was going to have some sort of, like, freaky panic attack from just chugging so much caffeine.
Yeah, you know, humans were not meant to live the way we do. That's obvious. But, you know, it still smacks us in the face every now and then.
You know,
times when nature is just like, wouldn't you enjoy a nice antelope? But, you know, you're just sitting there
right.
chugging your iced tea. And
it was antelope flavored.
God.
Yeah, I tell my kids this on a regular basis that, you know, I tell them as though I'm being all serious and stuff like that. I'm all right, look out the window and look at what mankind has built. Look at all these buildings and all these marvels and all this stuff. And they're all like, ooh. And then I'm just all, none of this is the way that things were meant to be. Basically, some guys just decided that this was the way that things were meant to be. And then people built on top of that over the years. And this is what we got now.
Okay, well, so this reminds me, I was reading recently about, you know, post-apocalyptic scenarios and all, because that's what you do. And I was reading some stuff, and apparently, if there were a nuclear war or something, you know, a massive plague, whatever, if civilization as it is were to vanish, it's unlikely that we would ever have another industrialized civilization on Earth.
Why is that? We used everything up?
The reason being is we used all the easy-to-get-to fossil fuels.
Right.
So, you know, without very high degrees of technology, you know, we're kind of bootstrapping ourselves up into not having to rely on fossil fuels so much, but, like, clearly we're not there yet.
Right.
And so until we can get to a point where... Well, I don't know that there's ever really a point we could get to. You know, you can't fabricate, you know, super cool solar panels and batteries and stuff without using fossil fuels.
Right, but it is highly possible that we have overlooked something totally obvious that we just never even thought about looking at, you know, because of fossil fuels.
But most of our renewable technology really does rely on a advanced materials that you need an industrial system already in place to build.
Like plastics and polymers.
Exactly. Yeah. So once, you know, you can use the dirty power sources or whatever to get those, and then you can start creating renewable stuff. But if everything goes back to zero, then you can't start building the plastics and so forth that you need to produce energy in any other way, really.
Right, it's like those games. There's certain like video games where you have two monitors and you're trying to build up one while hovering the other, and you're basically trying to, with the development of society, not hit a critical mass with one thing so that you can move on to the other before that other one hits that level that, you know, there's no turning back or you burn it all out or something like that. Like, let's say we had 50% less obtainable fossil fuels here, we would have burnt ourselves out long ago before we could have even gotten here, right?
Right, exactly.
That's true.
So it makes you think a little bit more about the stakes of, you know, any sort of post-apocalyptic scenario, because it's like, you think, oh, well, okay, 200 years later, though, we'll rebuild. But it's like, no, that's it. If humanity survives, it's just going to be dark ages forever.
It's going to get all Handmaid's Tale.
Exactly. And well, people will be like, you know, remember when there were cell phones? That was great. All magic from the gods because we are ignorant and superstitious and only know what horses and diseases are and stuff like that.
Right. All right. Well, we're coming up on our first break. You are listening to Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
Oh, my love of you, stop you, man, oh. This is Diane Hawks with the Address Realty and KCNR. I've been racking my brain trying to figure out how I could be of assistance to some of the car fire victims. So, I would like to donate 25% of my commissions to four families who have lost their homes in this horrific fire and wish to relocate in Shasta County. Even if you haven't yet received your settlement, you could call me now to reserve your commissions. Call Diane at 530-227-6401.
Tell your boss and your mom that you're busy on September 29th because you're going to the Red Sun Festival to rock out while helping car fire members. It's a full-volume rock fest on the Reading Civic Auditorium lawn with Floater. Lit. Candlebox. And headliners, AWOL Nation. $5 from every ticket, all, yes, all the festival's net proceeds, plus donations from the bands, are going to car fire relief efforts. Check out RedSunFestival.com. It's four rock acts in one day with plenty of bars, food trucks, and vendors. Every ticket matters. If the festival sells out, that's $250,000 for car fire relief. It's rock all day Saturday, September 29th, and country on Sunday, September 30th. Grab tickets at RedSunFestival.com or the Reading Civic Auditorium box office. Sponsored in part by Dutch Bros, 10 Barrel Brewing Company, and Budweiser.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, and in 2000 I opened the House of Conscious Living Yoga. We offer a variety of styles attending to the needs of all students. Our faculty consists of yoga therapists and health professionals. Conscious Living Yoga meets each student right where they are, and safety is always a priority. We offer weekly classes, class series, and workshops in addition to private sessions. Visit ConsciousLivingYoga.com for the online schedule, costs, and other interesting information.
We learned it the hard way. Wildland fire is a fact of life for us. The only real protection for your home and property is defensible space. Remove ladder fuels, brush, and trees that can take the fire right into your house. But cleaning up your landscape is a big job, and Cal North Forestry is up to the task. They are the professionals. Cal North Forestry. Give your home the best chance at survival. For a free estimate, call 209-9473. 209-9473.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and our guests, Leanne and Angela from Spirited History Podcast, from our own network that we also air on Wednesday nights, the Para X Radio Network. Leanne and Angela, do we have you there?
Yes, we do.
Angela. All right. So we actually haven't had a paranormal researchers on in quite some time, and frankly, I was kind of missing it. And then when I see that you're hitting here the Poe Museum, and then you're hitting, I'm forgetting the name of it,
Waverly Hills.
Yeah. So I saw the movie that was made there. it was terrible. But the setting was awesome. The setting is absolutely awesome. So first, let's talk about your podcast. You know, we're both on Para X. I'm sure we've heard each other before, but for the listening audience, why don't we tell them what Spirited History, your guys' podcast, is all about?
Well, our Spirited History podcast began in 2008. Angela and I had met in a paranormal group, and she and I just hit it off pretty much like sisters. And one night in her kitchen, I was telling her about a lot of our historic sites were missing funding. And as an educator, I thought, you know, this is a teachable moment where we can really combine and connecting with spirit and use this as fundraising for our historic sites and bring in a new audience. And Angela agreed. And what happened next, Ange?
My husband, he's in IT, and he's pretty handy with computers. And we were just talking about it, and all of a sudden he goes, well, here's your website.
Yeah,
I've done that to my wife a couple times.
We came up with our name, Spirited History. And, you know, I've been interested in the paranormal for a long time, and over 25 years now, researching and learning as much as I can. And Angela as well. And we just, as soon as we started forming it, it just seemed like the right people gravitated towards us. And we have a core group now of 14 investigators that we go to different historic locations throughout the East Coast and help with fundraising events. And thus far, our little group's raised about $55,000.
Yeah, so
as
soon as you said that, that actually, like, struck an interest with me because it seemed like the perfect comparison. You know, a lot of people might go, well, I don't know if that's a great match, but when it comes to history, not only are you're like killing two birds with one stone. Not only are you researching the history of, like, what went on there for the haunting and the paranormal, but also the history to add weight to it and value to it as a historic site and to drum up interest in it as a historic site.
Exactly. Oh, people are always interested in the anecdotal stories and the legends and lore associated with our historic locations.
Oh, absolutely.
And
nobody
Angela
goes to the Tower
I,
of London
yeah.
because nobody died there. You know?
But, you know, for both of us, we're just huge history nerds and really appreciated learning more about the historic locations through diaries and census records and information like that. And if we could find something quantifiable that we could prove with that or connect with spirit with that, that to us intrigued us.
Well, let me separate your voices here. Who am I talking to right now?
This is Leanne.
Leanne, okay. I agree that it is just really an awesome way to get into it. And really nobody gets into the paranormal to the level of chasing it and loving it without also being a history buff. I assume, Angela, mm-hmm. that you're a history buff?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, it's interesting. I've always loved history. And, you know, I've been intrigued with the paranormal, but I never really thought, oh, you know, I'm going to go look for spirits. It's always something like, you know, it's one of those things you contemplate to yourself, like, what do I believe is going to happen to me after I leave this plane of existence?
Mm-hmm.
It was never something where I thought, I wonder if those echoes are still here. And then, you know, entertainment kind of exploded. And that's
yeah.
when I was like, wow, people actually research this and this is a thing. And that's when I found Leanne. And like she said, we just became friends so fast. So, and then we had that extra little, we both loved history so much that we were like, let's do something with this. Let's, you know, bring this to light.
So, Leanne, on your show, what are you guys really discussing? Are you guys having guests on, or are you talking about your investigations, or a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B?
A little bit of column A and a little bit of column B. We love having guests. We have those that are out in the field connecting with spirit and history. We have those that work and run historic locations. We also bring up topics that interest us, and we think, you know, if you're in the paranormal, this will probably interest you. We did a recent one on dowsing because we do use that during our investigations. Future shows, we want to highlight some of our those in the past that have done research work, like Sarah Estep, who created the classification system for EVP, things like that.
So these are like pioneers of the paranormal investigation history.
Exactly. So we can see where we've come from, and really a lot of it we're still doing. We need to break out of some of that and add to what these pioneers have done.
Yeah, well, there's definitely a stigma that comes with it. You know, it's no longer the stigma that's going to keep us out of a job, but it's definitely, you know, the stigma that's probably not going too mainstream just yet, you know.
The pseudoscience.
Right, the pseudoscience. So, Angela, I think that you guys are, like, really kind of lucky. So here I am. Not only am I in California on the West Coast, but I'm in Northern California on the West Coast. And, you know, we just don't have at least the industrialized history that you guys have over there. Of course, we have Native American history, just like the entire continent does. But history associated with structures that we know and we see and that carry that history with them, you know, due to American life, a lot of the Native American history has been wiped out, you know. But you guys are able to just sort of, I'm sure, travel town to town and find some really, really old, cool places. Is that right, Angela?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Richmond, where we're based out of, is rich in history between the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, all the way up to, you know, Poe Museum, where Poe didn't actually live, but artifacts of his are there, and he probably did visit as a child, as a young man. We're just kind of saturated here in the South. I grew up in California, so I know what you mean. It's kind of a new history there,
right,
except for the really old history, which is more passed on verbally and not as well documented as, say, the white history that we, you know, have down here when colonization started and stuff.
Right.
So
it's like I don't know how to say this PC-wise, but it seems like out here in California, every single place that anybody ever says it was haunted, they all go, it used to be a brothel, you know. And, like,
yeah.
And it seems like everything out here used to be an Old West brothel, and now it's haunted. And I'm just like, maybe we could get a different story going here, you know.
It's true.
Yeah. Well, we get Washington slept here, and we get the classic lady in white everywhere.
What is the classic lady in white?
The vision of an ethereal being, and she's dressed in all white, and they see her gliding through either the structures or in the gardens or around the buildings. Almost every location we go to, there seems to be an ethereal lady in white.
Huh.
Or the blue lady, like at Weston.
Yeah.
I guess Doc's going to come back at first.
I don't know what just happened, but maybe we're getting haunted, you know. But maybe it's like, you know, the docent of the afterlife if it's all over the place.
Mm.
So when we come back, we're going to be discussing the Poe Museum. And you said that Poe's not from there, so I'm assuming that the assumption is that artifacts from there are maybe haunted or memories. So before we cut, Let's leave Poe till we come back. You know, what do you think? Maybe a quick answer. We got like 1 minute. What do you think spirits are? Do you think they're actually leftover life representations, or do you think they're sort of an echo of what once happened? Do you think they're like spirits that haven't passed on, or are they spirits that are gone and they left kind of an echo? Those seems to be the two kind of ideas.
I think it could be either. I think there's both. I think some are place memories, like a record groove, and I think some are actually what we call interactive or aware and are beyond a memory that might be something that either is visiting and can come and go or is stuck there because they feel like they can't pass on.
Right.
Tethered somehow.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, man, that just prompts a bunch of questions, but we're coming up here on our first commercial break. You're listening to our guests, Leanne and Angela, from the Spirited History Podcast on the Para-X Radio Network. Come on back, and we're going to be talking about the Poe Museum in Richmond, Virginia. I wanna, but I don't wanna win that much of it all.
Yeah, he'll stop. I have the right of way. Or will he? Alan Gordon here, Coachmaster Collision Repair. Don't count on it. He or she might be texting, changing the station on the radio, or breaking up a fight in the back seat. Don't take that chance. Lives are at stake. Distracted driving is a danger to us all. You can be proactive in preventing an accident. There's not much you can do when you're sitting in your car and they back into your door. If this happens to you, come see us. We're located at the south end of Eastside Road just before Girvan. With your claim number, we can handle your entire claim process. Our quality repairs and friendly service will have you recommending Coachmaster to all your friends and family. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology and the collision repair industry, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
North State Security is currently celebrating our 50th year of providing security services throughout the Northern California region. The next few moments I'd like to spend recruiting you as an employee of North State Security. What a better way to help make a difference in the quality of life we all deserve to experience in the greater Reading area. Becoming a licensed security officer here at North State Security is a fabulous way to help make Reading a safer place to reside and conduct business. Call us at 243-0295 or stop by our headquarters at 1970 Hartnell Avenue for more information. We are offering a unique opportunity right now. Join our ranks and immediately become eligible for winning a luxury houseboat for a week from Shasta Marina, $500 in meat from R&R Meats, or $500 shopping spree at Costco, all valued clients of ours. Becoming an employee of North State Security to win one of these exciting prizes and help make the North State a safer place to be. How can you beat an opportunity like that? North State Security, 243-0295, or visit personally, 1970 Hartnell Avenue, Reading.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. I thought it would be fun to have you hear from some of our residents what life is like here at River Commons. I asked Jean, Rosalie, Gordon, and Sherry to share their thoughts.
Living here at River Commons is something I never even imagined or dreamed of. It's sort of like being on a vacation where you don't have to worry about doing anything and you have people taking care of you, looking out for you. The food is like being on a cruise ship, as my daughter puts it.
Home. It feels homey to me. Only better. I don't have to cook. I don't have to clean.
Been here 8 years. It's been fantastic. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
This is my home. The parties and the activities are great. I love living here. I wouldn't live anyplace else.
Call today and schedule a tour or lunch in a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
Hey, you getting hungry?
Yeah, hungry as a bear.
Oh, yes, the eternal question. What's for lunch?
Fast food?
Nah, I want something that didn't come in a bag.
Someplace fancy.
No, I want a place that has a down-home atmosphere, serves good portions, and has consistently good food.
My friend, you just described Black Bear Diner. They started just up the road in Mount Shasta. They have carried that feeling of home-cooked meals at a great price to more than 100 locations.
They're on Hilltop Drive in Reading. What's that?
It's time to feed the inner bear.
Black Bear Diner.
Goes down and the moon comes up. I turned to a teenage Google Mob.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guests Leanne and Angela from Spirited History Podcast on the Parrot X Radio Network. So this Poe Museum was basically just a happy accident that it was so close to you and so perfect for what you guys wanted, right?
Well, it was a location that we absolutely loved going to for the history of the old stone house, which is one of the buildings in the Poe Museum complex, because it is one of the oldest in Richmond, dating back to 1754, and is made from the ballast stones from the ships that would come in to along the riverfront. Yeah. And this intrigued us because you know, my goodness, this dates back, and it's the oldest stone, and there's theories about stone and the stone tape theory, and,
right.
and somehow encapsulating voices from the past, and something activates it to replay. So we took a recorder in there during one of the tours, and we wanted to see the largest collection of Poe memorabilia, which is in this particular museum. And we actually captured a female's voice sighing in a room that usually does not have people in it, and we had secured a recorder. So we contacted the management there and asked, you know, this is what we would like to do. We always have a confidentiality clause with our clients until they're ready to go public, if they ever are.
Mm-hmm.
And they agreed to have us come in. And we investigated that location for how long, Ange? How many years do you think?
Oh, like 4 or 5.
At least, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and we were there at least 3 to 4 times a year, different seasons, testing different theories. And each time we would go to this complex of buildings, something would happen, something unusual, something that we could not replicate, and a lot of electronic voice phenomena, which was interesting to us.
Right, right. And so we have a couple of those that we're going to try giving a listening to here. I want to tell the audience first, you know, we've all seen horror movies. I'm a horror movie fanatic, by the way. I like to tell anybody just in case I can make horror movie friends because I don't have any. That these things are obviously, one is obviously capable of faking these things. So audience, if you're out there listening and you're thinking, oh, well, that's fake, you know, there is no money in anything that any of us do. There is no purpose in faking it. So, you know, I just have to remind people of that. They're just all, oh, well, they're totally fake. I mean, to what point? You know, I don't see much of a point in trying to. It's not like we're paying the bills with the paranormal.
Even other paranormal investigators feel that way about other EVPs. You know, there's always going to be that wonder of, is this really true or not?
Right.
For me, it's those personal experiences, and when we do capture something like this, for myself, I can say, this I cannot explain, and it is a direct response to my questions. And some of it we've captured correlates to history that a lot of people are not privy to, which is interesting to us. But yeah,
so you're finding out after the fact.
We leave
it
up to the public to make their own judgment.
All right. So this first one here, you said that you had the voice of the woman. So this would be the second one on the list that you sent me. Why don't we try that one on, Jared? I don't know if that was the voice of the woman. This was a voice saying, am I dead?
Mm-hmm. There's this weird, this was in the old stone house,
mm-hmm.
and they had reports of children running throughout the building and showing up in wedding photographs. And Angie and I always go in, I don't want to say cynical, but we're leery of it. We want to have our own experiences and say, well, you know, maybe it is in a neighborhood. Maybe there are neighborhood kids coming in through the garden gate.
Well, you have to look at it that way, or you're not investigating.
And we were absolutely shocked that this was completely locked up with a security system. We had cameras in every room. We had recorders in every room. And there's nothing on camera during this. And we can track the first EVP we have is the feet. And that happened first, and then maybe 10 minutes, 20 minutes after that, on the steps area, going to the second floor in the old stone house is where we have this giggling child responding to this man saying, I am dead now.
All right.
And the child's like, you know, and for us, we kind of went, ooh, okay, that's a little creepy.
All right, we're going to fire up that first one of the feet running. Let's check
okay.
it. Yeah, well, that's pretty undeniable that that's, you know, feet running. Absolutely. And I have to say that if I was sitting in that situation and that happened, and I knew that I was all alone, I would find that terrifying.
Yeah. 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 And we actually caught that sound on three different devices. We caught it on two recorders, and it moved. Like, it went from one room where the gift shop is into another room that has, like, an exhibit. And we caught it on a video recorder and two audio recorders.
Right.
But no visuals to go along with any of these, huh?
No visuals.
No.
Yeah, yeah. Which
is... No visuals.
Is, I'm sure, you know, both proof and disappointing at the same time, because, of course, we all... You know, we all grew up with Ghostbusters, and we want to see full floating apparitions or whatever they called it in the movies.
Yeah,
you know,
but, some ectoplasm. Something.
Right, right. But, you know, there doesn't seem to be a lot of that in the real world of paranormal investigating.
No, but we do have one. Ange had an experience in the model room where she felt something go through her.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm probably the least sensitive, empathic, any kind of, I have no ability, I'm just me. And we were standing there, and we play music and stuff for place memory to activate, like, the area. Sometimes we'll play either period music, usually. In this case, we played some, I believe it was the Beatles, right?
Yeah, because what was interesting is there's a model of the Poe Museum in there, and in the 60s and 70s, it was worked on by a group of men and or artists and to repair it. And we were getting, our instruments were going off. We had high EMF spikes, and the lights actually were going off and on at the same time with the spikes and our dowsing rods. We were having multiple things happen. And we were getting responses to the music, and then Angela just kind of grabbed me with one of those grabs, like you're holding on for dear life. And I'm looking at her like, oh, my God, are you going to – I thought she was going to pass out. But what happened, Angela?
It was the weirdest feeling I've ever had. Like, I was standing there, and we were just, like, listening to the music, and it felt like something walked through me. It felt like cobwebs. And then but I felt it go through my body. Like, it wasn't my whole body at once felt this weird feeling. It was like I felt something press through the front of me and go through the back of me. And it felt like pins and needles and, like, cobweb. Like, I had cobwebs hitting my face, and I, like, and then it felt like spiky pins and needles. That's the only way I can really explain it. And then it was gone. It was, like, as quick as it went through me, it was gone, and I was just like, what the heck was that?
And did that make you want to go home at
that
point?
So it was really weird for me.
Did that make you want to go home at that point?
No. It doesn't freak me out. It freaked me out for about a second, and then I was like, well, that was kind of cool, but I don't want it to happen again, so don't do that to me.
Right.
No. Oh, my God. What's interesting is, on video, when that happened, another person in the group, her head ducks, and you can actually see her head, her hair get moved, like padded, like burnt.
Oh, really?
Yes. And to me, I found that interesting, just the whole sequence of events in that. And then it was gone. We didn't experience anything else in that location the rest of the night.
Well, we just got a few more, you know, a minute or so up until the next commercial break. So I want to play these other two EVPs that we have from the Poe Museum. So, Jared, can you fire us up number three? This is a voice at the end saying, stay as long as you want.
Going into the model building. Come on.
I love this model.
So I assume there was not a male there with you.
There were two investigators, a husband and wife, and they're opening the door into the model room. And what they feel like is captured on there is a female, right after you hear the door open, saying, stay as long as you want, very Southern. And what's interesting is at that time there was an Elmira Shelton exhibit in that room of her personal effects.
Well, we're coming up on our commercial break. We're going to have to pick this up when we come on back.
You are listening to Leanne and Angela from Spirited History Podcast on the Para-X Radio Network right here on Radio Wasteland. Come on back. The city and I roam the streets.
This is Carl on the Bot, and there is only one place you will find a new Sleep Number dual temp layer bed. That's right, Sleep Number in Reading. Be sure to go in and see them in a Target shopping center next to the vitamin shop. My Sleep Number is 40, and I feel great.
Right now they're making room, so go in and receive huge savings on all Sleep Number memory foam and I-Series bed sets. My Sleep Number is 55. Go find yours today. Sleep Number in the Target center next to the vitamin shop.
The annual Reading East Rotary Ducky Derby is coming September 30th at Reading's Codwell Park. Be a part of the Reading East Rotary's effort to keep our kids drug and alcohol free. First prize is a 16-sleeper houseboat vacation from Shasta Marina, valued at $2,700. Details and all the other amazing prizes, sponsor, or ticket information go to readingduckyderby.com or call 225-8583. The 29th Annual Ducky Derby, September 30th in Codwell Park. Get your tickets today. Brought to you by KCNR 1460 AM.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call them at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
Hey, if you ever plan to fly out west.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and we're talking with our guests Leanne and Angela from Spirited History Podcast from the Para-X Radio Network. Angela, maybe you could set up this last one for us real quick. I want to finish up these EVPs from the Poe Museum before we move on to the sanitarium. But this is our last segment, so I want to make sure we have enough time to get to the sanitarium. This last one is a voice saying, "I hate that," at the Enchanted Garden. What's the Enchanted Garden?
At the Poe Museum, it's, as we said, it's kind of a complex. There's the old stone house, which is the oldest building there, and then there's four other buildings that are kind of, and it makes, like, it encircles a garden in the center where you can rent that area for weddings and stuff. And they also have, like, every third Thursday of the month, they have what they call unhappy hour in the garden.
Sweet.
It's just really fun. They're really great there at the Poe Museum. They really embrace their gothic, you know.
Their fans,
emo.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And one of our investigators was in the garden, and they said something, and this was the response to it.
All right, Jared, can you fire up that fourth one for us?
Well, we may have had a ghost to bring with us. No, no. There's two groups. There's the Richmond Paranormal Group.
Yeah, I definitely heard that at the end. That was creepy. Sounded like somebody talking while inhaling. It kind of sounds
very
like
whispery. I hate that. You know, like
to me, it sounds like somebody like me cussing if I dropped a brick on my foot while inhaling.
or someone that really smokes.
Yeah, yeah, which is me cussing after dropping a brick on my foot while inhaling.
Oh no! But yeah, you know, in that enchanted garden, it's just filled with ivy from his mother's grave. Poe's mother's buried up the street at St. John's Church.
Oh, really?
She actually died in Richmond, yeah. And Poe, even though he wasn't born in Richmond, he did consider Richmond his home. The Allen family adopted him once his mother passed. And so with the Poe Museum, it has the largest collection of Poe memorabilia. And if you are in the Richmond area, it really is worth coming and see. They have a lock of his hair, his personal clothing. It's just a phenomenal place. And I'm going to tell you, take your recorder. You will not be disappointed.
I will definitely make it a point of getting there. All right. So this our next stop that we're going to try to fit in here into the last break is talking about your guys' investigation into the Waverly Hills Sanitarium. Nothing's more freaky than sanitarium because it implies all sorts of just terrible, terrible things. Can you tell us a little bit about the Waverly Hills Sanitarium, where it is and what it was?
Well, Waverly Hills, it was for tuberculosis patients. It started out as a school, the Waverly Hills School, named after a book series by Sir Walter Scott, by one of the teachers. But over time, it was morphed into a sanitarium or sanatorium for those that were suffering with tuberculosis. And it became quite an epidemic in the area there in Jefferson County in Kentucky. And at one point, it was filled with about, I'm going to say, 140 people, Ange?
Yeah.
It was a lot. And they had an open-air ward on the fourth floor, and they believed that that would be a curative for tuberculosis. So even in the wintertime, people would be wheeled out in their beds or chairs into this open ward, into the open air there. And at times, their blankets would even be covered with snow. And I think this was one of the first times electric blankets were actually used and utilized for patients. But it has always been an active paranormal place. It has that lure of it, and Ange and I, being in the paranormal field, we were drawn to go and see for ourselves exactly, you know, well, is this place as haunted as they're saying it is?
So in the case of the Poe Museum, you were talking about having, like, multiple cameras around in separate rooms, but we're dealing with something much smaller. In the case of Waverly Hills, we're dealing with something much larger. So how does that go? How do you pick the rooms where you're going to have your stationary items, or do you even bring those with you? How does that go?
We went bare minimum commando just for the experience. And for us, you can kind of get lost in all the equipment sometimes, and you miss things. And for Angela and I, we were the only ones that had actually, in our group, what they did was they broke us up into groups for each floor. Isn't that right, Ange?
Yeah.
And we were the only ones that actually had investigated the paranormal at all in our group of 10 people. Mm. So they pushed us into the front and kind of held on to us behind us, because you're in complete darkness and you're in an open air environment. So it's already contaminated. You can have sounds from cars or soundscape. Sounds can come and echo from far away. It's filled with birds roosting, and we found out later. And we were looking at our photographs, and I thought Ange had a brown fanny pack. Zoomed in on the picture, and it was what, Ange?
It was a big, giant bat flying from behind me, and it was headed towards the camera.
Oh, God.
It was see it.
Huge, and that's when it hit us that you can think you know your surroundings, but those little suckers, and there was one in the same picture coming at my flash and camera. There were two.
We didn't hear
them.
We didn't sense them at all. So we're like, okay, if people are saying they're being touched by something, it's probably these bats flying in here. Or a breeze went by them.
We do have an EVP that you guys are sharing with us from there. Maybe we'll fire that up. Angela, why don't you set this up? What are we about to listen to here?
We were in the kitchen dining area, and somebody in our group had brought a present. There's a little girl spirit that has been seen up on the floor we were in, the second floor. And she brought a present to leave for her, and we were telling her about it. And we were doing a real time with the radio, that the hack box. We were doing one of those sessions, but we were also recording on our EVP, on our electronic recorders, and caught this electronic voice phenomena. This is not from the, you can hear the radio in the background, but this is actually an electronic voice phenomena that we got in response to telling her that we left.
A direct response.
I see. All right, Jared, fire that up, would you?
Sweetie, can you tell us your name?
Yeah, so what we're hearing there is the clicking is what I know of as a ghost box, right?
Right.
And so, so you're using that to sort of like bring out the try to pick something up there and try to pick something up in the room. And what you got was it kind of seemed almost like backwards speak. I don't know. I wasn't hearing it very well, but. What were you hearing?
Well, we got her name. She said, we asked what her name was. She said Candy, and it's kind of evil sounding to me. Like, it freaks me out. It's like, Candy, and you're like, oh, it just makes the hairs on your arm kind of go up.
The best ones
then
do.
You hear, when we talk about the present, you hear, like, in the same voice, thank you.
And then thank you, because we said we left the purse for you.
Well, I found all of this really interesting. I just totally love doing this stuff. But unfortunately, we're coming up on the end of the show here. Leanne, maybe you can tell us, our listeners, where they can find out more about Spirited History and where they can hear you guys.
Well, they can hear us every night, every Friday night at 8 p.m. on the Para-X Radio Network. They can also catch us on Podomatic and YouTube. We'll repost those up for if you missed us live. And
that's 8 p.m. Eastern, right?
Excuse me?
That's 8 p.m. Eastern.
Yes. And then we have upcoming events. You can go to our Spirited History website. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We've got several events. We're going to be at Fort Mifflin on October 6th, so come see us there. We're going to be at Weston Plantation for an investigation on October 20th. And then we have a Spirited History dinner at Swift Creek Mill here, where you can hear our tales and actually see a video of a disembodied arm that we have.
Sweet.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you've been listening to Leanne and Angela from Spirited History here on Radio Wasteland. Thanks for checking us out.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.